We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back. Quarter number four of the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Greg Pickle and Dustin Hawkinsmith here. We're talking Penn State basketball now and really just wondering what's going to happen with this program. Lions are now 0-9 in the Big Ten on a seven-game losing streak. I know that we've had these conversations before, but the vibe now is a little bit different here, Greg, when you lose to Rutgers. 64-60 was the final most recently. And it is just not going well for Patrick Chambers. And, you know, there are big questions that need to be asked right now. Number one, I mean, what else is there to say about the Penn State basketball program when the same things, the same themes keep repeating themselves? We've been talking about that all year long.
Well, I just don't, you know, at this point, I don't know. I mean, I think that obviously this is not exactly where many thought this program would be at this point of the year. 7-13 overall, as you mentioned, they're on a little nasty little win streak here. Going on the road has not solved any problems. 1-6 away from the Bryce Jordan Center this year. So it's time for them to right the ship, but I am not exactly sure how they're going to do it. You know, Purdue comes to town on Thursday. They're on a roll at this point, obviously just beating Michigan State over the weekend. You know, is that the one game that Penn State gets it all together and upsets a top 25 program at Bryce Jordan Center? They seem to do it every year. This year feels a little bit different. I mean, is there a guy on this roster you can rely on to go out and make the kind of shots needed to upset an opponent like that? I just don't know if there's an answer to that. After that, you head to Northwestern, then you go make a stop at Ohio State, then Michigan, then you have Purdue again. So this is not an easy stretch coming up here for Patrick Chambers' team, and obviously they've sort of wasted some of the good chances they had to get back on track, losing 65-64 at Minnesota, a 5-point, or I guess it was a 7-point loss to Iowa, blown out against Michigan State a couple Sundays ago, lost by 6 to Nebraska back on Jan 10. So at this point, I don't know. I mean, this team clearly, you know, you thought maybe the Chambers suspension and things like that would help this team turn a corner. Not so much because you want your coach to be suspended, but just sometimes you see in all sports that, you know, sort of not a shakeup, but a jarring moment can help bring a team together. That really hasn't been the case here. You can point to the fact that the Rutgers loss was by 4, Minnesota by a point. I mean, they're not getting blown out in a majority of these games. They have plenty of, you know, single-digit losses to point to, but it's tiresome listening to Pat Chambers again talk about we're this close and we're young and yada yada yada. That's all fine and well, but at some point, you know, that just is, it's not good enough. It's not good enough to constantly be this close. If you're this close for this long, why have you never taken a step forward? Those are the kind of questions that Sandy Barber and other higher ups in the athletic department will have to ask themselves at this point in time. And obviously, there's a lot of people with a lot of different feelings on what Patrick Chambers' future should be. But there's no question that, you know, if this Big Ten skid continues, those questions are only going to get louder and more poignant.
Well, and that's the other question that a lot of people are screaming now. A Rutgers loss will expedite that. But is it time for a leadership change? Does Patrick do they need to part ways with Patrick Chambers? Who out there, alumni or donors, is mad enough about this to really force the issue? Like that would be my question. Is I know that there's some dissatisfaction with the results. And speaking to, you know, we're this close, we have heard that a lot. And there's a little bit of basis for that. But I think if you're 0-3 with three losses that have come in games where you led up until 8 minutes left, that's some bad luck, or that's something that you need to grow out of. If you're 0-9 with essentially not all nine losses coming in that, but a lot of them coming in that fashion, and some non-conference ones as well, that is no longer, oh, it's tough luck, or oh, we're this close. That at a certain point, and I think 0-9 in the Big Ten, you reach that point. You are what your record says you are.
Right.
And I think Penn State has reached, they've played enough games now at 7-13, 0-9 in the Big Ten, seven games lost in a row. You're at the point now where you are what your record says you are. And there's an opportunity to redefine who you are. And I suspect, that Penn State will make no changes midseason. That's my expectation.
Agreed.
I don't know, but if you're 0 for, you know, all the way through February,
right,
that very well could change. But as things are right now, I would be a little surprised if they made a change midseason. But I do think it's something that needs to be evaluated at least after the season's over.
Yeah, no doubt about it. I mean, I think, you know, going back to your point, so you look at the Big Ten revenue and expenses in basketball for the last fiscal year, 2017. This is courtesy of the Journal and Courier out in West Lafayette, I think. Iowa, top 25, $7.5 million. Nebraska, top 25, $7.3 million. Illinois, top 25, or at least they're floating around that, if I'm not mistaken. I could very well be, but I think I have my teams mixed up. Anyway, they're like 7.3. Purdue, team obviously on the rise and closing in on, you know, some of the best teams in the country, 7.2 million. And then you find Penn State down at the bottom of the barrel at 5.8 in expenses. Now, the program made a profit last season, but ultimately the big problem Penn State has is that, and you can say what you want about there only being about a $2 million gap between some of these top 25 teams in Penn State. The problem is these top 25 teams that are expending that amount, that's lower than some of their counterparts. Michigan State led the country last year in Big Ten basketball expenses at just over $14 million. Indiana second at $12.2 million.
Did anybody in the Big Ten not make a profit?
That is a good question. Rutgers did not. But that's what I would assume is mostly due to the fact that they weren't getting all their Big Ten share yet. And so that's affecting all of their sports.
And that's kind of what I'm getting at is, so
right,
like in Major League Baseball, I think it's hilarious that you don't even have to try, you're guaranteed a profit stream.
Right.
Television rights, blah, blah, blah. You don't need to sell tickets. You know, that's just a bonus, right? Selling tickets is just a bonus. TV, it's all about TV. So it's really the same effect here where putting the most competitive product on the field that you can, or in this case, the court, it's important, but it's also, you know, your business model as a program. What, and I know our colleague Dave Jones touches on this quite a bit. What's the incentive to shake up that guaranteed profit stream,
right,
to try to spend more money that won't guarantee more profit? And this is the reality of the situation. And it's, you know, the Pittsburgh Pirates are a perfect case of this.
Mm-hmm.
They're not going to overspend. They're stuck at what their expenses and what their revenues are, and they're content with that. That maybe it's the same situation here. I know Dave thinks that.
Yeah, no question. I mean, it makes total sense. And let's be honest, I mean, I think we get distorted perception sometimes because, well, I should speak for myself, but social media and things like that, you know, I think we interact, and people that listen to this show that we interact with, I think we interact with a lot of the core Penn State fans who root for basketball and hockey and wrestling and, of course, football as well. I don't know if the average Penn State football fan who, you know, watches every game, maybe goes to one a year, you know, but isn't necessarily diving into the nitty gritty of it, you know, every week, every day, every month. Do they really care that Penn State basketball is winless in the Big Ten? Do they even know that Penn State basketball is winless in the Big Ten? And I think that's where a lot of the problem stems from. You talk about, are there enough people willing to be mad about this? Quite frankly, I think that there are, but I think I interact with the vocal part of the fan base. I think they're probably a minority at this point. Now, obviously, at some point, if it gets bad enough people will start to notice. But I think this program is in such a place, you know, you'd rather people be angry with you. And I think James Franklin's talked about this before, maybe not, but I feel like he's mentioned something along these lines. But either way, I think it's true. You know, would much rather have people be angry with you than just simply not care. And I think the problem with Penn State basketball is there's too many people that know what this road leads to. They've been down this road with this program before. And I think apathy is the word at this point. I think Pat Chambers and these kids, I do think they're actually trying hard. I don't think they're trying to lose every game. Obviously, some of the results help indicate that as well. But I just think there's not that many people that truly, honestly care what the Penn State men's basketball team does. And because of that, you know, will there be a change? I don't know. But I don't think it matters. And I know Dave wrote this. I know Ben Jones from statecollege.com has written this. I don't think it matters what you do. I think you could install one of us as the head coach. If you're simply aiming to make a profit and not disrupt the apple cart and keep using that profit as a part of your, you know, ability to sustain whatever it is, 31, 32 varsity athletic programs, then you can change coaches. It doesn't necessarily mean you're going to change results on the floor. Now, is Pat Schick old? You could make that argument. Is it tiresome? Yeah, you can make that argument. Should the program be further along than it is at this point? Yeah, you could make that argument. You could also make the case that he's brought it probably a little bit higher in terms of recruiting and results than what most people probably thought. And one of the things that I know this is a little bit long rant, but you know, one of these things that bugs me is that, you know, you read and you hear sometimes people say, any other major program that didn't go to an NCAA tournament, you know, in what, 7 or 8 years that Pat's been the head coach, you know, that there'd be a change. And my question is, Penn State might be a major program because they're in the Big Ten, but what other factor can you point to say they are a major program that should be expecting NCAA bids at this point?
Well, they're treated like a mid-major,
right,
on their own campus in a lot of cases. And I've seen this other stuff being, okay, well, how can Penn State possibly recruit and be good at basketball when they're located where they're located, away from any urban center and blah, blah, blah. I think the issue with that is not that Penn State is located in the middle of nowhere. I think it's the fact that you don't have any tradition and you're trying to build that tradition as you go. That's the bigger thing, because, you know, like West Lafayette, they're not having that big of an issue there because Purdue has won basketball games. Indiana,
yeah,
it's not like Bloomington's Manhattan. They have really?
It's not?
Winning, it's Manhattan, Kansas, maybe. They have a tradition of winning basketball games and they're able to recruit on that tradition. Penn State just doesn't really have the location, doesn't really have the commitment from the top to bottom. They just don't have a lot of all the it factors that is required. I don't think the location of the campus is anywhere near the top of the list. And here's what I would say just about 2018-2019. This program was not built to win basketball games this year. I know that other programs have freshmen. They rely on freshmen. Kentucky, Duke, they turn their roster over all the time. These are not those freshmen.
If they were, they'd be at Kentucky and Duke. Yeah.
Miles Dredd is not the guy to come in right away and lead a basketball program. Doesn't mean he's a bad player. It means he's going to be a good player. He's just not there yet. Penn State was built to not have a secondary score. They were built to not be able to absorb an unexpected loss like Tony Carr going to the NBA a year early. They're not in a place where they can absorb anything that's out of the ordinary, mm-hmm, and still maintain the progress that they showed last season. That's a reality, but they're still 0-9 in the Big Ten. They're still not playing very good basketball. They're not playing winning basketball. So these questions need to be asked. We'll keep watching it here on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Be sure to tune in with us at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. Hey, Penn State fans, here is your chance to take something off your bucket list. That's right. Go PSU RV is offering a full range of RV setups ready for a weekend of great tailgating at their Lions Den, which is the closest single game RV overnight lot to Beaver Stadium. You can arrive anytime Friday afternoon. Stay until Sunday morning, avoiding all that traffic. Don't miss this unique opportunity. Go online to gopsurv.com and reserve your RV today.
Life gets complicated, and it only gets more complicated when things change, which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
This is where the temperatures are unkind. This is where water freezes in the blink of an eye. This is where the wind bites harder than a mid-ice cross check. This is where the beer is always on ice. This is Labatt Hockey, played the way Mother Nature intended. Labatt Blue is proud to support pond hockey and all the hardy souls that like to play it cool. This is Labatt Hockey.
Beer, Labatt USA, Buffalo, New York.